Welcome back. Rolling through our number one. I am Jim Rome. Let me change up on you. Talk some hockey right now. We are joined by the general manager of the Calgary Flames. Flames GM since April of 2014. The co-founder of the Western Professional Hockey League. Calgary is just 1 point out of first in the Pacific. And they are hosting the Rangers tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern. Brad Treliving is my guest. Brad, nice to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing good, Jim. How are you?
Good, good. Good to visit with you, Brad. Thanks so much. Let me start first with the team is coming off a 9-4 win over New Jersey on Tuesday night. Johnny Gaudreau had 3 goals and 3 assists. He had been in a bit of a scoring slump by his standards anyway. So what did you make of his performance and the way he broke out on Tuesday, Brad?
Yeah, you know, Johnny's been sort of a catalyst for us, not only this year, but ever since he joined our team. So, you know, his line there with Sean Monahan and Elias Lindholm have really driven our offense for the majority of the year. And since coming back from the All-Star game, they've been in a little bit of a, you know, they've been hitting a dry well here a little bit. And, you know, it's nothing we were necessarily concerned about. It's a long year. These are top players. They get a lot of attention paid to them, especially this time of the year. But it was certainly good to him see him break out. I had a feeling, you know, it was coming. And then with Jersey in town, Johnny's a Jersey boy. So any time that he can go after the hometown team, I think usually that gets the engine running a little hotter than usual. So it was good, obviously, for him. Good for us, and a big 2 points that we got the other night.
And the fact that you guys had 9 goals on Tuesday night, 6 more on Sunday against Vegas, 15 the last 2 games, so he's not the only guy who's starting to break out. Let me ask you about your head coach, Bill Peters. He had been really thoughtful about giving guys rest during the stretch in preparation for the playoffs. So as an organization, how do you go about getting the right balance between rest for the postseason but still battling to try to win the division?
Yeah, it's a real good question. And really what we've tried to do, Jim, here, especially this last couple of weeks, our February schedule was difficult. We had three Eastern road trips. So we went out east on 3 separate occasions. We had one trip. We ended up going from Vancouver all the way to Tampa, which is probably as long as you can go and as far as you can go in this league. So as you're going through it, you know, we muscled our way through a pretty good month in February. And then, you know, it felt like we hit a little bit of a wall here at the beginning of March. And I think just the travel, the schedule caught up to us a little bit. So we've tried to balance the work-to-rest ratio here. I think Bill and his staff have done a real good job to try to give guys some time. You know, and the schedule's lightened up a little bit where we've had a couple of days between games here the last couple of, you know, this past week. So it's a chance for everybody to hit a little bit of a reset. And but you're right. I mean, these every night's an important game. We're chasing. You know, right now we're in a battle with San Jose to try to secure top spot in our division and fighting for a conference seeding, number one seeding in the conference. So these are important games. So we're trying to balance just getting some guys some time off on off days and then and getting ready for the next game.
You know, it speaks to the kind of season, Brad, that you're all having there. In terms of balance, I mean, you're in the midst of an amazing season for the franchise, and then you get to the trade deadline, and there were some options where you could have given up some young assets to try to win right now. How'd you go about approaching the deadline in terms of balance, you know, balancing the opportunities for this year and the plan for the future?
Well, we went into the deadline really with a plan, sort of twofold. If number one, we wanted to see if we could add a little depth to our defense. Our defense has been a strength of ours, but we've been running pretty regularly with a couple of kids in our third pairing there, a couple 20-year-olds. So we thought if there's a way to give them a little bit of protection and stability and support, we'd like to add some depth there. So we did. We added a guy from LA, Oscar Fantenberg, a Swedish player who we've had some time for. In the past, even when he was a free agent prior to signing in LA. So we were excited to get Oscar. And then we were trying to see if there's a way to add, you know, really an impact player up front. At the end of the day, Jim, the price that was going to cost and, you know, for just a rental player and something that was going to be short term, we just, you know, we've got a number of young players in our system that we think are going to be really good. And we just weren't prepared to part with them. You know, you'd love to help your team. You'd love to be able to, you know, give them a little push as they go down the stretch here. But, you know, the cost has to make sense. And for us, the ask for the players that we had interest in never moved off of a couple of the young players and a couple of the high picks that we felt that we just weren't in a position to put into play. So we ended up passing. And you know, I think the deadline is, like I said, if you can use it to help give your team a push, I think that was sort of our that was our hope, and that was sort of the plan going in. But it had to make sense that cost wise, and let's not forget we're in the place that we're in with the group that we got. And I think sometimes you can overthink these things and overcook it a little bit. And looking back historically, those big deals, those big trades that happen at the deadline, you know, really when you look back historically, they haven't pushed teams over the top. So we did some tweaking, and we got a lot of faith in the group that's brought us this far. And we know it's a young group, and they've got lots of hockey in front of them both this year and in the future. So we didn't feel throwing a lot of future out the window here was prudent to do.
We are talking Calgary Flames hockey here in the jungle. The GM, Brad Treleaven, joins us. Brad, your journey to this point to me is really remarkable. There is a story from back in the day that you were chased by a pack of wild pigs at one point. Brad, first off, where were you when that all happened, and what kind of a pig, what kind of breed of pig are we talking about?
Yeah, Jim, it sounds probably a little bit worse than reality. I was in Arizona. So I was in Scottsdale living and went out for a little morning run early in the winter, and it was dark. And I had a cop that lived across the street, a buddy of mine, and he was joking all the time that they're called javelinas. So they look like wild pigs, or they are wild pigs, I guess. And I never saw them. I thought he was BSing me or some mythical creature. So he'd say every night when he came home from the night shift that there were six or seven of these javelinas on my front lawn that he was joking he almost had to shoot. So I went out for a run one morning, and sure enough, I came around the corner, and there they all were. And when you see them at about 6 o'clock in the morning, and they're awful looking things, you think they're, you know, you think you're done, you think they're going to rip you from limb to limb. So I took off, and they're running away from these things. They're taking off thinking they're right behind me, which they weren't. There's a guy in the morning taking his garbage out. So I came in hot into his garage. If he had a gun, he probably would have shot me. So it was a real, you know, I'm sure it was a great looking scene. I said, I'm getting chased here. We got to hunker down. And he didn't know what the heck was going on. So that was I survived. And like I said, the feeling was probably a whole lot worse than actually what was going on. But if you ever run across those things, they're not the prettiest things to look at.
No, Brad, that actually sounds pretty bad to me. So how long did you wait out those pigs?
Well, we shut the garage, and then I kind of had them poke. We went out the sort of the side door to poke around there, and we were probably in there 10 minutes. And I thought this was going to be, you know, I was saving his life here. And when he kind of explained to me that these probably weren't going to attack me and we were probably in the clear, then I said, okay, let's get moving on. So if it was me and it happened, I would have probably shot the guy coming, because I came in all dressed in black at early in the morning running, and this poor guy's just taking his garbage out, and all of a sudden he's got a friend running into his garage here. So it was, I'm sure it was sight for sore eyes if anybody was watching.
No, I appreciate you telling that story, bro. That's scary. That's like all of our greatest fear, the so-called pig apocalypse, and was right there in front of you. But I'm glad that you lived to tell that story. Listen, before you go, if that were the only interesting story, that'd be one thing. But really quickly, back at one point in your 20s, you were with the Columbus Chill of the ECHL. You were starting to think about life after playing. What kind of thoughts were you having at that point?
Well, it was, you know, we ended up in Columbus playing in the ECHL at that point, and really the group that went in there, you know, the off-ice group, the marketing and sales and game production was ahead of their time. It was a wonderful experience. The building was full. We played at the old Fairgrounds Coliseum, and they did a great job filling the building. And at that point, you have as you're going through it as a player, I was pretty realistic with myself in terms of where my on-ice career was going to go. So you're contemplating what, you know, you wanted to be involved in the game. How do you stay in the game? What's sort of what would be your next move? And and talked a lot to the people with your organization there, did some work in the front office and just learning about different aspects of the game. Because as a player, as a young guy coming up, you really don't, at least myself, I had no clue what happened with respect to the business part of the sport and people that are actually out there selling tickets and selling sponsorship and putting on the production. You know, you show up and play and think everybody just shows up because you're playing the game. So great learning experience. Met my wife in Ohio, in Columbus, for a kid out of Canada who had never been down to that part. It was a great experience. And, you know, obviously Columbus holds a dear spot in our heart, and it was a good couple of years with the Chill.
So, Brad, finally, your father is a police officer who had become an entrepreneur. How much did you learn about him from the entrepreneurial approach, especially when it came to starting a professional hockey league?
Yeah, a lot, Jim, a lot. He was a cop, you know, when I was younger, and then he sort of pivoted and got involved in at that time was a small pizza chain and grew it and ended up purchasing it with a partner, his business partner, and growing the company, primarily in Canada. And then, you know, in the last number of years, they've moved into the U.S. But obviously watching him as he grew his business and got involved in different things, you know, really taught me a lot about just having dreams and then the work that goes into to make those reality. You know, we can all have dreams and think big, which is important. But now you have to go out and make sacrifices and have the discipline to achieve those goals. So obviously been a big has had a big impact on my life and my career. And, it was great watching him and talking to him as, like I said, as he's built his business. And obviously he's been a great sounding board for me, you know, over the years as I've sort of charted my own course.
Let me just say, Brad, as I let you go, I'm looking at pictures right now of the Javelinas. Man, they are disgusting. I'd run, too, as far and as fast as I could.
If you get close to them, Jim, they stink like hell, too. So these are awful, awful creatures. You know?
They are.
Tell me, if you saw those in the middle of the night, that you wouldn't be taken off, too, running into a guy's garage.
That's exactly what I'm saying, man. I'd run as far and as fast as I possibly could, man. They are scary. They are ugly. They're nasty. They're disgusting. And come to find out, they smell like hell. Brad, Trey Leving is the GM of the Calgary Flames. Brad, so great to have you on the show. Thank you very much. And really enjoyed that visit with you.
Okay, Jim. Thanks very much.
Talk to you soon, I hope, Brad. That was great. I'm looking at him, man. That is an ugly, nasty-looking beast. Scottsdale, no less. Imagine being in your neighborhood out in the morning for a run and a pack of angry pigs.